Ethiopia's government and rebel forces in northern Tigray have agreed to end hostilities, but this isn't the first ceasefire in the two-year conflict. So what are the terms of the deal and will it last? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Fuliba Thibault. After 10 days of peace talks in South Africa, a surprise deal has been reached to stop Ethiopia's civil war in Tigray. Up to 500,000 people have died from violence and starvation during the conflict. Hundreds of thousands have been forced from their homes and 9 million urgently need food. Well, now the Ethiopian government and the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, have agreed to what they call a permanent cessation of hostilities. The African Union mediated the talks led by former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo and former Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
Today is the beginning of a new dawn for Ethiopia, for the Horn of Africa, and indeed for Africa as a whole. Let me hasten to thank God for this new dawn. We have seen in practice and actualization what we have tried to achieve for ourselves over the years, and that is African solution for African problems.
Let's remind you how the war started. Ethnic Tigrayans dominated Ethiopian politics for nearly 30 years until Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed came to power in 2018. 2 years later, he ordered a military operation against the TPLF. He accused the group of attacking military bases and holding an unauthorized regional election. Northern Tigray has been under blockade for 17 months with aid restricted and internet and phone services blocked. Both sides have been accused of violating human rights. Now, the last ceasefire signed in August broke down and Ethiopian government forces were closing in on Tigray's regional capital, Mekele. That was just before the latest round of talks. After this ceasefire was announced, Ethiopia's prime minister, in a statement, said the agreement signed today in South Africa is monumental in moving Ethiopia forward. Our commitment to peace remains steadfast. Now, the TPLF says the ceasefire is not only a relief to the people of Tigray, but to all of Ethiopia.
As far as both parties are concerned, we have made painful concessions because addressing the pains of our people is far more important than the kinds of concessions we have made. Yes, we have made concessions because we have to build trust and we have to make sure that every one of us builds on that trust.
Let's now bring in our guests. In Addis Ababa, Khairedin Tezira, a member of the Ethiopian Parliament and assistant professor of social anthropology at Addis Ababa University. In Amsterdam, Gebrekistos Gebreselassie, founder and chief editor of Tagat.com. That's a website documenting the war in Tigray. And in London, Martin Plaut, a senior research fellow at the Institute of Commonwealth Studies. Gentlemen, a warm welcome to you all. Thank you very much for joining us today on Inside Story. Before we get into the details of this agreement signed by the Ethiopian government and the TPLF, I want to get your initial reaction first to this ceasefire. Let me start with you, Khairedin, in Addis Ababa. How do you view this agreement? Will this ceasefire last?
Yeah, the moment I heard the agreement launched in Pretoria, I was very happy, and as any part of Ethiopia and as any citizen of Ethiopia, I wish Ethiopia to be very peaceful and prosperous, and that bloody conflict in the north was dragging us behind. It is a conflict between brothers. So the moment I heard it, it was emotional for me and moving, and I'm very happy. And for me and for other Ethiopians, I believe this is the agreement is not indicating the winning of one or another party. Rather, it Ethiopia brothers, one family wins out of the agreement.
But that how is my committed and reaction. How committed is the Ethiopian government to the agreement?
You know, according to my understanding, and immediately after the agreement, the Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said The government is very committed. You know, if you can remember, and if your viewers even can remember, the Ethiopian government time and again, you know, said that it wants to end the conflict through peaceful dialogue, unilaterally declared for humanitarian access previously. And, you know, the commitment was observed even before the Pretoria Agreement. Then at the moment and after the agreement, Ethiopian government demand, according to my understanding, is fully addressed. It, you know, it raised that, you know, the issue was previously, and the factors that, you know, triggered the war seems addressed very well in the agreement.
Okay.
So no need to wait. Rather, the spirit and letter of the agreement should be implemented. That is the reaction from the Prime Minister and his government as well.
Gabriel Christos, this deal has come as a surprise to many because there was not a lot of optimism going into the talks in South Africa. What is your reaction to this agreement? And do you think this ceasefire, unlike the previous one, will last?
I think it is positive that there is at least, you know, a publicly stated commitment for peace or a desire for peace. Whether it will last is something I am not so, it remains to be seen. And I say that because the track record of the African Union, the Ethiopian regime are not really that good. The regime really thrives on deception. So that doesn't give me so much hope. And the African Union does not have really a strong mechanism, you know, to enforce this, to oversee this process. And I would like to add this, that I think this is the Tigrayan community now feels that this was really an unfair agreement that has been really demanded a lot of concessions on the part of Tigray.
At the start of the negotiations, Martin, 10 days ago, the conflict was intensifying and the Ethiopian government and its Eritrean allies were closing in on Mekele, the regional capital of Tigray. What do you think led to this breakthrough? And is this the end point, you think?
Well, I think there are two things to say. The first is both sides were under intense pressure. The Tigrayans were certainly under intense pressure because the Eritrean and Ethiopian forces were deep inside their territory. But they were not close to Mekele. Mm. They were actually blocked quite a distance from Mekele and were held and being ambushed all the time on the B-30, which was called the Highway to Hell. So it wasn't as if the Tigrayans were in an impossible position, but they were in an extremely difficult position.
But they made lot of concessions. How do you explain them making the concessions
indeed
they made?
Well, let me just give you the difficulty that the Ethiopians were under. Mm. Not only were they losing a lot of men, but also they were under intense financial pressure because the International Monetary Fund made it clear they would not extend loans to Ethiopia, which is down to about a month's worth of foreign exchange. They've spent hugely on weapons for this war. And so they were under intense pressure as well. And it's because both sides were under pressure that it was possible to get some kind of agreement, I think.
Yeah. Gabriel Christos said a moment ago that the Ethiopian regime has a track record that's not really good, that they're deceptive, in his words. Do you think there is enough trust today between the two sides that could make the ceasefire last?
I think there's very little trust, but what you need is, confidence-building measures. And, you know, you can ask yourself one simple question. Have the borders of Tigray been opened? Mm. Have the World Food Programme's trucks begun moving today? There's no reason why they have to wait any further. The agreement's been initialed. They should be moving today. The second question is this. Will the Ethiopian and the Eritrean governments allow reporters from Al Jazeera, from other organizations, to go up to the front and report on what is going on?
Right.
That would be hugely important in allowing people to say, this is what's happening, with some confidence.
All right. Well, let's take a closer look now at the significant parts of this agreement. The TPLF, under this deal, must enter a permanent ceasefire with government forces and disarm. Tigray will be restored as a region under Ethiopia's federal system. Elections held in Tigray in 2020 that weren't recognized by Ethiopia's government will be considered void, and a new government for the region will be established. Let me bring you back in, Gayradin, in Addis Ababa. Martin raised an important point there, and that is an important question, and that is whether the borders of Tigray will be open. When will aid return to Tigray? When will all the obstacles to transport of food and medicine be lifted?
You know, I don't know why, in what mechanism that Martin Pulaut examined or came to that kind of conclusion. You know, according to my understanding, there was a war and for long, for 2 years in that area. But still, after the control of some areas by Ethiopian National Defense Force, I can understand that, and based on my information, close information and assessment into the development in the area, there is a smooth movement of humanitarian food and other services. Mm. And even today, as of today, I can hear in those liberated areas, services, electricity and telecommunication have been restored by the government. The issue is, as you have already mentioned in the agreement, whether the government has absolute power in that area. It's very difficult. Mm. Most of the services are delivered by the government institutions, the federal government institution. If the federal government jurisdiction have not been very well upheld in that area, it would be very difficult for the state, the central government, to deliver this kind of services into area.
Okay, Gebre Christos.
But I don't agree, and I will not agree that deliberately there will not be a siege and a blockade by the federal government. I think this kind of accusation seems now working as this spirit of peace is now, overshadowing the scene now.
Gebre Christos, Khairuddin says the government has been falsely accused of blockading the Tigray region. What do you know is happening right now, to the extent of your knowledge, in the region? Is aid and coming in? Are services being restored, as Khairuddin says?
No, that's an absolute lie. And lie and deception have been part of the not only the government, but also the people that speak for the government. And this is just what we hear now today. We have families, for example, in the areas that he says are liberated. Again, this is not liberation, according to Tigrayans. You don't liberate people that didn't ask for that. But there is no electricity, there's no internet, there's nothing, there's no aid. But again, they are telling us that our people are eating food while they are not eating. So I think, like what Martin said before, we haven't seen anything yet since the signing of the agreement. That kind of points, something positive is coming in the coming days ahead. But I think let me just go back a little bit and say, one of the injustice that Tigrayans feel at this moment is that, what is normally not negotiable, like humanitarian aid, restoration of services, genocide, blockade, all this shouldn't have been allowed. But they have been used, to coerce Tigrayans to concede many things if they want to get, this, for example, humanitarian aid. This has been part of the negotiation. That's why it doesn't feel right from the get-go. And this resentment among Tigrayans now, if social media is an indication, we don't know about the people in Tigray because they have no voice at this moment. Mm. But those that are outside, there is a huge disappointment, resentment, and they feel that Tigrayans who have been subjected to genocide will not get justice and reparation because of this arrangement that has been created now.
Martin, a huge really disappointment from the Tigrayans, apparently, at this agreement. So where does it leave it? I mean, it sounds like it's not going to last very long.
Well, I hope it does. I mean, this has been a long time in the making, and there's been huge international pressure. The Americans have played a big role in trying to get this through. The African Union, as you mentioned, has worked extremely hard to make this happen. And there's no reason why it shouldn't work. Mm. I mean, as I said, there are good reasons why both sides would want to have a resolution. But, you just need some measures of goodwill which show that there's genuine goodwill on both sides. Let a United Nations flight take off tomorrow with the camera crews, international camera crew on it, and broadcast the situation from Mekelle tomorrow. That would change the atmosphere. It's not difficult to do. It could be done at a switch, by Prime Minister Abe. All he has to do is say yes, they can go, and the United Nations flights would take off. There's no reason why it can't happen.
Khairuddin, will the Prime Minister, will the Ethiopian government make this goodwill gesture?
You know, I don't know whether this kind of proposal from Martin can check, can countercheck and check whether the agreement is workable or not. This is a very simple event, by the way. We have to appreciate the overall framework that agreed by the parties and the intention both parties demonstrating.
You know, I mean, I think everyone agrees.
Martin and my brother.
Yeah, everyone agrees, I think, on the framework, and everyone welcomes the deal. The question now is whether what was agreed will be implemented.
You know, I think what kind of implementation is mentioned in the detail, that will be seen very soon. We will see, you know, there is also a declaration of agreement that's mentioned in the agreement. Then there are also observers that can check and countercheck whether it is workable or not. Mm. For me, for instance, according to my brother from Amsterdam, he said that Tigrayans are showing resentment. The Tigrayans are not only living in Tigray region, they are living in Addis Ababa, they are living in different parts of Ethiopia, they are very happy. You know, they want to see their region, their families to be peaceful. So we have to appreciate that. The diaspora should also come to, you know, this kind of, appreciate this kind of agreement. You know, elongating the war, elongating the spirit of hatredness cannot help us more. Let's just appreciate, let's grasp this opportunity and show a kind of commitment to implementation. For me, the implementation cannot be checked by one cameraman or one journalist to go there and broadcast this guy. This is a very simple situation. We'll see it very soon. Let's give time to prove this right or wrong.
Gabriel Christos, your response.
You know, I mean, this is very simple, for example. You know, it's a good gesture, like allowing journalists, allowing aid to flow immediately would signal a good thing. But what your guest from Addis is saying is really simply, you know, let's just, you know, be good. No, there should be justice for what has happened. You just don't let crimes of this magnitude, you know, go free.
But the crimes, by the way, according to United Nations, Gebre Christos, were committed by both sides, not just Ethiopian government forces, but also by the Tigrayan forces.
Oh, no, that's not the same. That's just crimes, and there is a genocide. That's a different type of crime. Those you know, crimes, you know, conflict, there will be crimes. So also, if the Tigrayans have committed crimes, they should be held accountable. So we're not really saying only, the forces, the allied forces should be held. Mm. But there should be a mechanism, transparent, trustworthy mechanism, and something that is really befitting the magnitude of the crimes that has been committed in Tigray. Many people kind of miss this, but the investigation also puts, you know, the magnitude of the crimes on the Ethiopian regime and its allies, not on the Tigrayan forces.
Okay, before I bring Martin back into the conversation, I just want to ask you, Gebre Christos, we talked about goodwill gestures. What about the disarmament of the TPLF? That's part of the agreement, the TPLF disarming. When can we expect that to happen?
That is something that's extremely difficult for Tigrayans, because we believe as Tigrayans that only we don't consider it TPLF. That's already the problem there. It calls the Tigrayan forces, which we call Tigrayan Defense Forces, as TPLF forces. They are not TPLF forces. The Tigrayans are not fighting for TPLF. They are fighting for their people, for their institution of government. And that's the problem, with this. And this are under what conditions? This is something.
It's a sovereign state. We don't have a parallel army in a given state.
Let me wait. The parallel army has committed genocide upon us. It's not our army, and it has allowed a foreign army, Eritrean army, to come.
No, it's an Ethiopian army. We should abide by the spirit and the letters of the agreement, my friend.
Let me finish.
Ethiopia needs peace.
Let me finish.
This kind of rhetoric, of hatred speech must end. And we are brothers and friends, yes, and fathers and sisters.
Please,
we need peace in Ethiopia. Peace in Tigray. We need in Afar. We need peace in every part of Ethiopia.
Okay.
Let's
Gebre Christos, just finish your thought really quickly.
Gone are the days that kind of conversation should end now.
Okay, just finish your thought really quickly before I bring Martin back in.
So this is what I mean. This Tigrayan forces, these are the only people that protect the Tigrayan society.
Okay.
And their disarmament is a very serious issue for Tigrayans. I don't think how this is going to work,
right?
But we feel like that's not really right.
Okay, Martin, as you can hear there's still quite a lot of animosity you know, from the two sides, if we just judge from this conversation between these two gentlemen, what happens next as far as this agreement is concerned? And we talked about Tigray, the TPLF and the Ethiopian government forces, but we haven't talked about Eritrea's role in this. Eritrean forces were, of course, fighting alongside the Ethiopian government forces. Will the Eritreans and President Isaias Afwerki accept this deal and abide by it, do you think?
Well, that's a critical question. And, you know, it was about a year ago, Prime Minister Abiy of Ethiopia said that he had asked the Eritreans to leave, but they never left. So how that he's going to ensure that they do leave is difficult. They didn't participate in these talks, and they're not mentioned at all in the agreement. The only thing that it says is that it prevents the use of proxies to destabilize the other party or collusion with any external force hostile to either party. That's a sort of complicated way of saying the Eritreans.
Right.
But how they're going to ensure that they leave is very difficult, because don't forget that a lot of Ethiopian troops were sent up north to Eritrea to attack the Tigrayans from the north. What's going to happen to them? And what about the Somali forces who were also brought in at the beginning of this war? When are they going to be allowed to go home? Mm-hmm. There are many questions, and only 10 monitors have been established in this whole process.
Yeah.
It's a very fragile system.
And what about the fate of the disputed Western Tigray region, which is part of Tigray but was captured by Amhara forces at the beginning of the conflict?
Absolutely right. I mean, the only thing that really applies to that is the two-page agreement which was signed, where they said that they uphold the constitution of the Federal Democratic Republic of Ethiopia. Now, that constitution recognizes that Western Tigray as part of Tigray.
Mm.
Now, if they're going to abide by the letter of this, then that should be returned to Tigray. But I'd be interested to hear what the colleague in Addis Ababa has to say about that.
Okay. Khairuddin in Addis Ababa, what do you have to say to that? And especially the question of when will Eritrean forces leave Ethiopia?
To my knowledge, and as an academic, and I, as an academic who want this data to narrate and to talk, the existence of Eritrean army, the involvement of Eritrean army in the northern conflict is not proved yet. That doesn't, you know, the Ethiopian government doesn't say about that. The Eritrean government doesn't say about that. Only I can hear from the TPLF side, from some international community or Western powers. So for this purpose, since I don't have any credible information about the existence of Eritrea,
okay,
I don't say anything about it. Regarding other issues, especially the issue of Western, as we call it, you know, the controversial lands,
yes,
and controversial areas, the agreement clearly stipulates that the Ethiopian constitution will address the issue. This doesn't mean that the Ethiopian constitution, you know, by the way, the Ethiopian Federal Democratic Republic constitution doesn't state anything about the internal boundaries of Ethiopian federal constituents.
Okay. Okay.
So that will need kind of further dialogue, further sitting and discussion.
Okay.
That will be addressed hopefully through the constitutional mechanisms,
okay,
and other mechanisms.
I'll let Gebrey Kessos respond on the point that there is no proof that Eritrean forces are in northern Tigray. And also ask you, Gebrey Kessos, about the next step. There are clearly divisions and this ceasefire is not going to solve them. What should happen next?
I don't know what to say, you know, to your guest from Addis. Basic facts, this is what we mean. You know, already here we see the denial of really established facts. You know, this is like even his government, he calls his the region his government, has admitted that Eritrean forces are in Ethiopia. This is just public knowledge. And he says he doesn't know about this. Why would we believe any word that he says? It's just difficult, you know. As far as, you know, going forward, I think what I believe is that this was really kind of like a face-saving kind of agreement.
Okay.
And it was just like the African Union has an interest to, you know, kind of save its name.
Okay.
The United States to do something. But I think the real issues haven't been addressed.
Okay.
The thing is that the grand questions were political. And now they have been made.
Let's accept the new opportunity. Let's accept this agreement, my friend.
Okay, gentlemen.
If we are very hopeful, if we are very interested to have peaceful in this Ethiopia,
clearly there are still so many issues.
My friend, it's better to accept and
to address.
To use
gentlemen,
this opportunity
thank you so much. Clearly, there are still so many issues to address and so many questions that hopefully we'll get to discuss further here on Al Jazeera. We've run out of time for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us, Khairuddin Tazira, Gebrekristos Gebreselassie, and Martin Plaut. Thank you very much. And thank you, too, for watching. You can always watch this program again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can, of course, also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Fuli Batibo, and the whole team in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye for now.